All right, Tom, where's that wooden wagon? It normally comes around this time. You hear it when it gets closer to the microphone. It's the wagon we use. Oh, there it is. It's to spread news and opinion. Oh, I got really loud. Very close to the microphone.
That's real close.
Very close to the microphone.
Hey, splashing mud up there.
Somebody has to hold on to the teeny tiny lady who's in the pickle jar. And she gets a chance to sit in there and meet all sorts of celebrities, different people. And occasionally, she signs up for herself to sit down with, like, maybe a motivational speaker. And that's what she's ended up with today.
If you were, God forbid, in a coma.
Okay.
And you woke up and you didn't really have a memory.
Right.
And you were told that you used to be a Navy SEAL.
Understand.
And they want you back now when you're healthy. Do you think you'd act differently and
yes.
hold yourself differently, conduct
yes.
yourself differently, have a different self-concept of who you are
yes.
than if you were told you were a piano instructor?
Wow, she is all in.
That's right.
How about that?
Tony Robbins?
I don't know who that was. She's hanging out with somebody. How about that? You go in and wake up from a coma and you're told you're a radio talk show host.
Yeah.
And you go back into a coma again.
You're right.
Pranila Jayapal in Congress, and she is an activist insider. I've met her a number of times. She's very, very nice. I've gone to a bunch of events when she's there. I'm sharing the stage with her. She's a very nice lady.
Oh, and, that's great.
She doesn't get as much attention as Cortez does. In fact, I looked up. 107 people follow her on Twitter.
Jayapal?
107,000.
Oh, 107,000?
Yeah, yeah.
I was going to say, wow, that is insulting.
107,000.
Okay, 107,000. And Ocasio-Cortez has more than Donald Trump, so I know it's a lot of people.
She's at 3.2 million.
Okay. But these might be a nice 1-2 combo. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez might be the face of the liberal movement in the left in the Democratic Party.
Right.
But Pranila Jayapal may be the one doing the more effective behind-the-scenes work. There's
yes.
this great profile on Vox. Who, you know, they're basically introducing her to the world. We may know her because, I mean, like, she's my representative. You've been on stage with her. But for the rest of the country, she's a relative nobody. And they're trying to explain how she operates. And they say already she's decided to take – she's as radical as Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez in some of her ideas. I mean, she supports – things like Medicare for all,
government
and
healthcare, yeah.
the new Green Deal,
yep.
and she actually was one of the people that called for the abolishment of ICE
mm-hmm.
to have it
right.
dissipate into other things. So she's as radical as they come, but she wants to work within the system rather than against the system. So
yes,
in her negotiations with Nancy Pelosi, we don't have to get too much into the weeds. There's something
yeah.
called PAYGO, which is a controversial issue that whenever you cut something from government or whenever
or spend
you add something
to
government, you have to cut something.
Yeah.
And a lot of Democrats, especially liberal Democrats, are uncomfortable with that, and including her wing of the party. Mm. And so she was in talks with Nancy Pelosi. In order to win their support, she got Nancy Pelosi to agree to have public hearings on Medicare for All.
Yes.
Now, that was seen as a real coup. Now, if she gave up her resistance to PAYGO, but she got something out of it that they thought was in the good, and they said, this is how she's basically out-Pelosi, or using Pelosi's tactics. In other words, it's better to understand how the levers of government work
yes.
and use those to your advantage.
As opposed to just doing press conferences and tweeting and things like that.
Exactly.
She's the workhorse. There's the show horse and
yes,
the workhorse.
Perfect. That's a perfect
She's in there, and she wants to push the idea that there's no private insurance. The government will provide your health insurance for you.
Yes.
And 70% of Americans, when polled, say, oh, I'm all for that.
Yes.
yes.
And so
Until
they find out the details, the devil's
right.
in the
and
details,
then they're like,
right?
Oh,
yes.
crap. Then 26%.
Not quite.
Are in favor of government.
But what's cool
healthcare.
About her, though, also they say, is that people that she's worked with across the aisle or with the more moderate or conservative side of the Democratic Party is they all speak
yeah,
highly of
she's
her.
Very nice.
Like you.
She's very nice.
Just, she comes across as serious. She's willing to entertain your
right.
ideas and argue that she's a very – they take her very seriously and they have nothing but respect for her.
Mm-hmm.
So from that point of view, that is the best face. If you're going to promote
oh, yeah.
a more radical agenda, the best face is to be, listen, I'm a real person here. I want serious consequences and I'm willing to take a somewhat incrementalist approach
yeah.
to these things. Because, she'd like to do this total immigration reform. After all, she is an immigrant herself.
Mm-hmm.
And almost lost her, did lose her legal status and almost lost her green card when she had a premature birth. Her first son was born and she was stuck in India and almost lost her rights in America.
Uh-huh.
So she wants to reform the whole kit and caboodle, good. But she realizes I got to do this in bits and pieces.
Right.
And
but Nancy's uncomfortable with some of the stuff that you keep calling it radical. I just call
yes.
it, you know, progressive. So I'm surprised. I like so that. Nancy doesn't like the idea, and she doesn't want to deal with Cortez when Nancy Pelosi was asked about the Green New Deal. She goes, well, whatever you call it, I don't know. She sort of dismissed the whole thing. But you have someone like Jayapal in there who sits down and works the levers in order to get government to be bigger and bigger and provide health care for us the same way.
No, not they, bigger and better, better and better, John. That's what
does it have
after.
To get bigger?
No, it doesn't have to get bigger.
Well, it will, right? By its very nature, it gets bigger.
If it gets better, it's okay if it's bigger. I even think you'd agree.
Then you have to get like into the quantitative what is better, right? Yes, exactly. We can prove bigger. You can't necessarily prove better. Let's see. NFL.
Well, let's start with Medicare for all. What do you say?
I'm all in.
Handshake?
Absolutely. Let's see what they do in the UK. By the way, the UK reported on Monday that they can no longer keep up with the new requirements regarding when people get emergency services while in the emergency room. They said, you know, I know you said 4 hours. We can't do 4 hours. We're going to need you to loosen that to possibly 7 or 9 hours that the person is unattended to. While in the emergency room in the UK, as not, that system
not unattended,
falls,
but not having worked,
not out. Being helped out.
How many times have you sat in the emergency room for hours?
Four hours.
They prioritize it. Yes,
4 hours.
Because they do. They prioritize it.
Yeah. Well,
but they do have. I mean, they have a better healthcare system. But the problem is now that they got Brexit, they're in.
They're in trouble, Tom.
Well,
they're in deep and trouble.
You know,
UK.
Part of the problem is because all you right wingers voted for Brexit.
Uh-huh.
You fools!
Oh my God. By the way, American people are so spoiled when it comes to the doctor, they would never go for this, especially when they start to learn, oh, the government's going to get rid of all health insurance. And the other thing it'll
well,
do,
that's, yeah,
it'll
that's...
create two, you want to talk about two different Americas, and equal and separate would be you would have everybody forced to be able to have the government insurance, right? Or government health care, wouldn't even be insurance.
It would be covered, yes.
Covered, right.
Just like
so you
Medicare.
Have long waiting lists, just like in Canada, you'd have more people dying
not
of cancer,
that long
just like
and
in Canada.
No. Nope. Now, more people aren't dying.
You wait. Do you know what you wait for when it comes to an MRI in Canada compared to the United States on average? But
no,
the way it is?
No.
Okay. You yourself, when you experienced that terrible tear in your knee.
Yes.
Weren't you, maybe you weren't even amazed, the fact that you could go in there. I'm sure you went to the ER.
Yes, I
okay.
did.
And then from there, you saw a specialist, and the specialist, within a couple of weeks after they took, or a week, they immediately set you in for surgery, and you came out, and then the next day or something, they've already set up somebody to do rehab for you. You're amazed at how quickly the procedure and the work was done on you.
Well, actually,
would
not.
You want to be? No, why not?
Because when you have that the kind of rupture, I mean, this is just accidental biography.
Yeah, right.
When you have that kind of rupture, you actually can't do anything for 10 days.
They don't let you do anything.
No, because you have to have the swelling and the blood go down before they can even take an MRI.
Oh, okay.
And I was met by a physician's assistant, not exactly a specialist, but still, I got good
insurance.
Care.
Is this not, Bonneville's
it's
insurance?
It's great insurance. It's high-end insurance. Went to Swedish, I have no complaints.
Okay. Well, we'll see. I want them to push this through. I want this to be something that people push through. $36 trillion for America in 10 years. The NFL reporter, who a very good-looking gal, who decided she wanted to go into the world of broadcasting, and she decides, you know, she sees a job listed that you are the on-field reporter.
The Detroit Lions.
Right.
So you do feature pieces for them and sideline things. And
so she thought, you know, in order to really do a good job as a reporter when it comes to football, it's not just enough for me to stand on the sidelines.
She was told that, and then she agreed. I think we have a...
Here she is.
Tori decided it wasn't enough to learn everything she could about the Detroit Lions. She wanted to learn everything she could about the game of football itself. So in the off season, after her first year, she attended a conference for high school and college coaches.
I mean, I looked so out of place. I am, you know, I am 5'6", and I do not have a bulky build by any means. Somebody approached me and was like, hey, are you a football coach? And I was like, oh, no, I'm a journalist. I'm, you know, just here to learn. And so they're like, you know, have you ever thought of playing football? And I was like, well, not until this very moment that you mentioned it.
She says playing was actually very tough.
Tryouts had already come and gone, so Tori was just thrown into practices. And her teammates, some of whom had been playing the game for years, didn't take it easy on her.
I remember one time in particular that I just got thrown on the ground so hard. I had to lay there and catch my breath for a second. And the girl stood over me, and this is my teammate. She was just trying to help me learn. She stood over me in that moment. She said, now you'll learn to always keep your head on a swivel. I was just like, okay, you're right. I will, because that really hurt.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You get the general idea. She went ahead. She played for a little while, right? Yeah. Learned about football. Now
I just think it's funny because it's the Detroit Lions. That's what George, what's his name, did with the Paper Lion. Remember mm-hmm. that? That he was a journalist and he's I'm blanking on his name right now. But anyway, he went around and he did all these various professions, and he played quarterback for the Detroit Lions and got hit once and was done with it.
He had three downs.
He
fumbled, yeah. I think, once. I think he handed off, and then third, it was a pass he was trying to go for. George Plimpton.
Plimpton, that's right. I was going to say, what, Joe McGinnis? No, that's not right. Joe Plimpton, yeah.
The last cut in that script where she does talk about kind of her takeaways from the
you
experience.
You like that, do you? Oh, why don't you jump in here and try to take over the show?
I understand this game better.
What's that?
Can't be any worse than the last three cuts.
Hey, he's sitting right there, Tom. He can hear you. He spent
oh,
time
he's got
on
headphones it. On. Oh, those are Norse silencers. Okay.
I understand this game better. I can see it unfold better because I've seen it from field level and watched it unfold from field level.
I'm having a little bit of an internal struggle because on the one hand, this is such a cool experience and I get that you learned so much. On the other hand, I don't want women to feel like you can't cover football unless you go play.
No, definitely not. No, that's not the case at all. For me, this is just what learning looked like, and I got a lot out of it. But if you can talk to people, if you can tell their stories, if you can help fans understand the game better, that's what covering sports is.
Okay.
So she undercuts her own point.
Yeah, I know. Hold on a second. Hey, Tom, can you come outside for a minute with me? Okay. Hold on a second.
Hey, Andrew, can you play some music while we're outside?
Sure.
That's the door.
Are you going to ask me to dance?
It sounds like they're preparing a heist.
Hey. Jacob has pitched like three or four really crappy stories, and then this football thing is also bad.
Yeah.
What, when he took this job for this promotion to move up to this thing, did we put him on a 90-day, 120-day? Do you know how long it took for all this?
I thought it was indefinite. It was when we both would agree that he had had enough.
Right.
It didn't matter. It could be a week. It could be a year.
What do you think?
I think we've had enough.
All right, we are back. Tom comes in with that as well. You know, it's weird. When we
Hi, Jacob.
Hey, Jacob. What's so weird? I didn't realize outside the studio is not exactly soundproof. I could still hear the music, and I could hear Jacob laughing in the background. That's weird. It's weird how that happened. Oh, wow, the door is cracked open a little bit. That's what it is. Which leads us to the story of, should you take the promotion? And the answer is, well, maybe things might work out for you, or it might cause the show to go off the air.
The idea behind this issue is most of us, the general story is that if you're going to get a promotion, you should take it, and it's an honor, and it's a privilege, and you're better off. I mean, why wouldn't you want to advance in your profession? And this article is just kind of suggesting that, you know, you should be a little cautious about it for a number of reasons. One is, don't just take it for the ego boost. Oh, they're going to pay me more money. It's a promotion, after all, and you could brag to your friends or your family or something. Uh-huh. They say that there are other considerations to keep in mind. For instance, maybe you're being promoted. For some reason, they're taking a promotion into management. Mm-hmm. They say maybe you're a people person, and by being promoted into management, you actually don't work with people as much. You deal with more administrative issues and more meetings, and maybe that isn't what you want in the job. Mm-hmm. So you should ask yourself, sure, this is a compliment to me. They're patting me on the back because they think I'm good. They're going to give me a promotion, but it may not fit well. The other thing is, it may be a lousy job. It may be that maybe the reason that position is open is because the boss that runs that position is such a jerk that no one can get along with that person, and you'd have to deal with this jerk after all. Maybe you don't want it for that reason. You should just sort of talk around and get a sense of why that position is open. Then you have to ask yourself about priorities and all of this. So I think this is kind of an interesting situation because we all end up dealing with these kinds of issues at work. Should you take a promotion or not? Is more money worth it or not? And so we're thinking of Jacob. Jacob had this really sleepy, easy job mm-hmm. over on KTTH as the producer of some guy named Jason Rantz.
He was just a lackey.
That's
Rantz would be like, hey, go make a copy of this.
Yeah, that's right. But he only had to make like two copies a day. I mean, it was really easy,
very easy,
but it was unsatisfying. And then the big famous, popular Tom and Curly show mm-hmm. came a-knocking, and they said, would you want to do that? And he said, no, it's too much work.
Mm-hmm.
So then it took our producer to convince him that it's more work, but it's so much more satisfying. And the question I'm wondering about now with Jacob is, should he have taken this job or not?
Oh, regrets?
Yeah.
Well, until
he's had a few.
Until today, I was feeling pretty good.
Listen, you can't hit it all the time, so don't worry about it. Karl Lagerfeld is dead, and yesterday we went through some of his famous quotes, and the only reason he's getting a second day of news is because the guy was, as my mom told me, she goes, if I was richer, I would be eccentric. Right now, I'm just middle-class crazy. He is yeah. eccentric, Karl Lagerfeld.
Yeah, and rich as Midas.
And he has decided that when it comes to the $200 million that he wants to leave behind, who is the lucky beneficiary, Tom?
His cat.
Yes.
Yay. So cat lovers of the world unite. And the question is, does that make him cooler or not, given that? The name of the cat is Choupette. And that's just, Choupette was one of the beneficiaries of his will.
And the other part of it is that he wasn't even his cat. Apparently he kidnapped the cat in 2011 from a young friend, a male model. It was the guy's cat. And then Lagerfeld must have said, no, I will take your cat. And then that's the end of it.
Yeah, he's kind of a forceful fellow, I get. And yes, there's a nice picture of him where he's drawn a picture of Choupette, and he's, you know, I don't know.
Does the cat get all the money? Seriously?
I don't think all the money. Gets some of it.
Didn't Helmsley, who was the awful woman that owned a bunch of hotels in New York City, didn't she
Leona
leave
Helmsley.
A bunch of money? Leona Helmsley left a bunch of money to her dog.
Yeah.
I think it was the same thing. Yeah.
Could be.
It's a final sort of FUE to people when it comes to what they do with their money. Let's see. The Washington Post is getting sued, and with good reason. Alan Dershowitz said, you know, kind of a case, but it's going to be sort of hard. We'll get to that story. Plus, also, the progressive activists that found the rope around their neck, a rope around his neck after he paid his friends to do it to him, reflects on the news cycle. So what happens is we'll get to these stories that the news needs to pump stuff out so fast. Facts are not as important. And or at least facts get sort of not examined.
Yeah, exactly. There are plenty of facts. They're just not all true.
Here's the part about the Covington thing that they're saying in the case that they could, if they wanted to, rather than just responding to the video that was up, which was like a, I don't know, 30 seconds or something, the Washington Post had before it, you could have gone and watched the entire 45 minutes. Rather, watch it and then print the story as opposed to taking what you found on Twitter, responding to that only, and then putting the story up about the Covington cat.
Yeah, that's the accusation.
Yeah,
that's
all right. Important. We'll be right back. Tom and Curly right here on Cairo Radio. Lake Washington Windows and Doors remind you, if you have windows and doors, if you don't, I think it's called a bomb shelter, but if you do and you have a door that's got a cracked seal or the window's not setting right and you are losing energy, think of just opening the window or opening the door and throwing cash out. That's what's happening. You got to heat the house. Let's make it more energy efficient for you. Lake Washington Windows and Doors, thank you very much. By the way, we will have a sponsor for a bomb shelter coming up at 11:45. Okay.
Trenchless going to bomb shelters now.
They thought it would be appropriate to sell bombs on this show for some reason. After the stories Jacob's been pitching. Hey, at least we haven't done a sex robot story in about 2 weeks.
That's true.
We're due for one. Thank you for reminding me.
Washington Post is being sued by the Covington Catholic teenager for $250 million, which was the amount of money that Jeff Bezos paid for the Washington Post. Their case is that he was libeled, Tom, and I don't know what his damages were, other than the fact a lot of people wanted to kill him. I don't know if he has actual damages. Maybe he could say that he has a mental anguish, he has trouble sleeping, has headaches, hasn't eaten, and he can come up with all that sort of stuff. But they throw the suit at the Washington Post. The Post says they're going to look at it and then aggressively defend themselves.
Yeah.
Here's what Alan Dershowitz says when it comes to the Washington Post lawsuit.
Well, I think they have a reasonable case. I mean, the world was guilty of libel. The way people jump to conclusions today without listening to all the facts, these poor kids seem to be doing exactly the right thing. And then suddenly, because they are thought to be white privileged kids, suddenly everybody's ganging up on them. I'd be interested to see how the case unfolds. I mean, they're asking for a lot of money. I don't think that's going to be taken too seriously. I think it's $250 million or something like that. But I do think that they have a significant case, and it would be interesting to see how the Post defends against their reporting in the case. Look, the media has to be responsible for their reporting, particularly when you have kids who really have no ability generally to defend themselves against media reporting.
It's tough to prove the libel, right? We're going to say what they'll say is that you looked at the Twitter feed, you looked at that video, the whole video was available to you, but you didn't. You responded too quickly and followed through with a story that hurt my client. Isn't that basically what they're going
to? Yeah, you have to establish it's a defamation case, and you have to establish a reckless disregard.
Yes.
And so that's the question. So when you're turning things around so quickly, was that an example of reckless disregard? And as Alan Dershowitz says, the whole world, you know, reacted too quickly. Can you single out the Washington Post, you know, among the rest of the world and all the other media outlets as being the single driver of the story? But I think that the story, I don't think it's probably going to go very far. I mean, we'll have to see what if there's discovery. There may be more solid information here that we're not don't have access to. But I don't think the point of the suit has nothing to do with winning a suit. It's more a kind of a blowback at the media from a pro-Trump side. Because if you look at what they're saying, it's full of this kind of partisan language or Trumpian bombast. Mm-hmm. In other words, they targeted and bullied 16-year-old Nicholas Sandman in order to embarrass President Trump. Really, you're going to have to establish that you did this as an agenda. And then they say, yes, in the span of 3 days, this is from the suit, in January this year, the Post engaged in a modern-day form of McCarthyism, mm-hmm, by competing with CNN and NBC, among others, to claim leadership of a mainstream and social media mob of bullies, which attacked, vilified, and threatened Nicholas Sandman.
Yeah.
This is an innocent secondary school child. The language is not legalistic. The language is more what you hear on a kind of, I mean, this would be like Sean Hannity could say it, and it's a legitimate political stance to take. Oh, this is outrageous. But I don't think they're really that serious. They ignored basic journalistic standards because it wanted to advance its well-known and easily documented biased agenda against President Donald J. Trump. That's not going to hold.
That's outside the guardrails of this.
Yes.
You can't. How are you going to prove
that? That's in the suit.
Right, I got it. Listen, but they knew you were going to read it on the air.
They knew somebody was going to read it.
It makes it easier to put hyperbole in the actual suit as opposed to somebody trying to come up with it on their own.
There you go. Okay. So, anyway, we'll have to see. But
it further discredits the Post and other organizations that like to quickly be able to just assess the photo and assume the guilt and put the black hat on the one person and the white hat on the other. They got caught in the Covington one. I mean, if I were, I would never be in this position, but if I all of a sudden woke up from a coma and somebody told me I'm in charge of the Washington Post, I would say, hey, guys, there seems to be a problem, because not only did it with the Covington kids, but then we did it as well when it came to this actor in Chicago. We didn't put words in that needed to be in. Jesse Sumut says,
yeah,
claims. Guys, where was the word claims? You didn't do that. You just said he was attacked. Let's just be a little bit more careful.
Okay.
And the same thing with the kids were smirking and mocking and denigrating the Native American. If they had watched the entire 45 minutes, which everybody did afterwards, you would have seen and all the investigation that went into it. The kids actually responded pretty well to a bunch of crazy African-American nutcases screaming at them, saying horrible things to them. And then the Native American guy walking up within inches of the kid's face and playing the drum. So the kids actually did a pretty good job of just standing there. But because he had a red hat on, he is associated with racism and all the other horrible things that are attributed
to
Donald
Trump. Part of the problem, I do agree. I think part of the problem is the social media aspect of it. They're responding to what's been posted on social media, and that's what caused this uproar. If there had been an investigation, if in the old days, in the dinosaur days where a newspaper had 6 hours or 24 hours of something, it wouldn't do it. We're now responding, we meaning the media or everybody else not even in the media, responding to social media. The messaging happens so quickly, you just respond to what you see, and then people overreact one way or the
The Post probably has a responsibility to not just take something and put it up there, just assuming.
And the thing is, they eventually did, but I also think that it pales in the comparison, these kinds of oversteps or missteps to the kind of solid investigative journalism they are already doing. Mm-hmm. This is something that they need to make sure they can clean up, if indeed they need to clean it up. Well, it'll be interesting to see what their defense is. Because right now, all I know is that I was bombarded with all this coverage, and I don't know whose was Washington Post and whose wasn't in terms of this. And eventually, within... It felt like within like a 12-hour news cycle, the other side came back and said, "Wait a minute," because remember, even the Covington, the Catholic boys' school they all went to condemned them out of hand initially.
No. The bishop or the guy in charge of the diocese demanded that the kids apologize. For their behavior when he had none of the information and the facts and had not watched the video. But he responded. He responded to the same way all the social media pressure that came after him. That guy should be excommunicated or at least called into the carpet. Tom, how embarrassing. Well, how embarrassing for the guy in charge of the archdiocese to say terrible things about the kids and not have any idea. And I think I've heard back from some of the parents that have written about that guy. I've seen what they've written about. They want him called on to be able to speak and apologize to the kids. Everybody owes those kids an apology for what they said about them. And you find out later on they were just hanging out there on the steps getting berated, right?
That's right. I'm not quite sure how. My point is that saying that even the own school, even the own archdiocese jumped in and said, "Oh yeah, this is terrible." He's now apologized for rushing to judgment.
He's written
the parents a letter. He did this lengthy investigation, and they said that our students were placed in a situation that was at once bizarre and threatening. The reaction to the situation was, given the circumstances, expected, and one might even say laudatory. He exonerates the students completely. Everyone is just jumping in.
And the same way they did on the case when it came to the gay actor that said that he was attacked by two guys with Trump hats on.
It was reported. I mean, that's the problem, is that the police took the report, and then the police released the information. We do this all the time in Cairo.
And they get the information from the guy, right? They didn't make up the stuff. The guy made up the stuff and gave it to the police, and then police reported what the guy was saying.
That's right, and that's how we cover police stories. Okay, this is the information the police are giving us. This person claims, and in this case, it looks like, now there could be a third turn to this worm, but it looks like what he was reporting is a false report.
Center for American Progress director said the problem is that news is spitting this stuff out so fast, the cycle's so quick. People don't need to necessarily go to facts. You can just go to biases.
Well, yes, and anything that confirms your bias one way or the other is exactly the danger of this quick process.
Right.
The problem is for media organizations, do you miss the entire cycle because you want to make sure you know what's going on? Maybe you need to say, this is a big controversy on social media. Here are the various versions of it.
Right.
And then withhold judgment, maybe.
Well, just put the word says or claims. Put that in there. That's all.
Well, on that smaller thing, John, I appreciate you gave me the Washington Post article, and the very first sentence said what he said, and then the next three sentences were quotes from the Chicago police supporting that sentence. So they did. It was clear when you read that, you realized, okay, well, this is what the Chicago police are telling us.
Chicago police are only telling you what he told them.
That's right, but it says, in the first paragraph,
it should have said he says or he claims.
Well, the thing is, I don't know if you've got three sentences behind there. Each paragraph is just one sentence.
I read
the same thing, and I think if you read that article, you wouldn't say, well, you'd figure this is the Chicago police.
He was innocent. He was a victim. A modern-day lynching. We'll take a quick break. I'm right back. Let's see. It is Care Partner Senior Living sponsoring the Tom and Curly Show letters. Thanks a lot. We appreciate it, and you will appreciate the great things they can do for you, Mom and Dad, getting to the point where the house has become too much for them, and they need extra help. It's Care Partner Senior Living. Hey, here comes the mailman with that song in his heart.
I'd be pretty excited to do something to the robot.
I'm the mailman. As you can see, I'm the mailman. Don't nobody mess with me. I'm the mailman. If you didn't know, I'm the mailman. I bring the mail to your door.
Yeah, right to your door. And it comes off through the Online Trading Academy text line at 98973. There's a teeny tiny lady. There she is.
Hello.
Oh, hello. She got a chance to ride in with a motivational speaker, Tom, in the wooden wagon today.
Look at that motivation go. First story of the day happened to be about poor Tim Iman, and we had a lot of response. 650. The Great Chair Heist would be a fabulous Tom and Curly radio drama.
Trevor G in the 206 says, I had multiple personal interactions with Tim, I mean, in the retail setting, a completely different industry. In all cases, he always seemed extremely shifty. He was always trying to haggle over small things that 99% of people don't. He was always a running joke at our shop. He comes across as a used car salesman in person.
425, I love how Tom, questioning why Iman stole a $70 chair, but overlooks the bigger crime, Attorney General Bobby Ferguson using his office to crush him financially, someone that protects Washington from tax-hungry liberals.
Yes.
Well, he's bringing, it's a misuse of funds is what he's being accused of.
I understand.
So, okay.
And Nick, the sprinkler guy, perfect example of white privilege. Allowed a week to contact police at the convenience. If a black man had walked out of the store with an unpaid merchandise, he'd be tackled in the parking lot, cops called, guns drawn. He'd be eyeballed by employees during the entire visit for the first place. Do you think anyone would buy a black man's claim that he was absent-minded?
That's a question. And 206, the most suspicious part of the Tim Iman story is that someone from Office Depot offered to help a customer.
Ba-dum-bum.
Just like Tim with his chair. Not buying it.
Law proposal 306. Sounds like the wedding scene from Princess Bride. Is that what brings us here to...
Marriage. Marriage is what brings us together today.
Marriage. Okay. You sort of jumped ahead, I think, John, but that's all going on your page. But... Area code 425. Well, I had RoboCops next.
I don't RoboCops. Know.
Okay. The only overwhelming feeling of warmth I get, this is in reference again to the lawyer proposal about love makes him warm,
yeah,
is when I urinate in my pants. That guy's proposal was awful. How did this make it as news?
Again, it's Jacob. Blame the kid. Wait. Okay, back to this one. Robocalls. Robocalls are such a big money loser. Why are we seeing more of them now than ever? I'm not sure. Your math is checking out.
I know. I think that's right, John. And 360. If I don't know the number, I don't answer.
And bed divorce. 206 says, yep, if the girl snores, I'm good. I'll take the couch. LOL.
I know. Do girls snore as much as guys? It's always the guys that snore. It seems like. Area code 360. When my wife and I first moved in together, we both put our queen bed side by side to make a mega bed. Then we had to put one bed in the guest room, and now we sleep in separate rooms 90% of the time.
509, in 8 years of marriage, I'm sure that I or my wife slept on the couch at least 50 times because of my snoring. Even our dog slept away.
On the breakup concierge, 253, us Yule lads are working on our YouTube surviving a breakup tutorial. Stay tuned. Signed, Doug Bowlicker.
Wow, chicken salad sandwiches. Heidi from Redondo. Hey, Andrew, I'm sending over a chicken salad sandwich, whether you want it or not. If you don't eat it, you can hold it between your knees.
Okay. Movie
lost
reference,
on Andrew.
Why Congress is dumb, 253. If the congressperson can't do the job themselves without a staff, they should resign immediately, be replaced by somebody who is competent.
And Dell,
not the point of the story.
It's okay. They're not going to get every point, Tom. Okay. Dell and Talis says, you guys are freaking me out. I can only imagine the Three Stooges running our government. Ugh.
On State of the City speech, 206. Low-income people who do not take the bus will apply for the Orca card and then sell it. Yeah, I wonder if there's any kind of check and balance on that.
Good idea. That is a brilliant idea. Why wouldn't you do that?
It's time for the letter of the day.
Oh, really? How do they stop that? That's a good move.
Fingerprints? David and Lake Stevens gives us the letter of the day. Hello. This is a very important automated message from Tim Iman. Recently, it was reported that Tim Iman stole an office chair from an Office Depot in Lacey, Washington. Tim Iman did not mean to steal the chair. When Tim Iman saw the chair, he fell in love with it. When you fall in love with something, you have an instinctual, overwhelming need to be with it. Tim Iman was so overwhelmed with emotion that he forgot to pay for it. To be clear, this isn't a post-coitus sleeping in the closet kind of love. This is a sleep in the same bed even though your boyfriend sings in your car kind of love. Tim Iman hopes you will continue to support the $30 Car Tab Initiative as well as purchase a stylish Let Voters Decide t-shirt for just $30 plus $112 transit tax.
Oh, my God.
Nice, David.
Good job. Wow, that is good.
We call it sometimes tippy-top shape.
That's what we do.
Tim Iman.
On the time. Bye-bye.